Welcome to the Classic Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classic.
Let's do it. Yeah?
I'm like, and we're back. WrestleMania was exciting.
You know it's going to be a good show when Joel starts giggling like right after he says hello.
Had that after WrestleMania glow on the next episode.
Yeah.
It
was another solid Raw, I think. This kind of tails into, you know, what I was planning to talk about and what's making me happy, but I'm really liking the John Cena U.S. Open thing.
I am too.
Because, you know, I'm hoping it's a weekly thing from here until whenever he drops the belt. But what it's doing is it's giving an extended look at guys that normally don't get lengthy matches.
Right.
Because I was sitting there looking, you know, at this match against Stardust, and I'm trying to think of, when was the last time I've seen a lengthy Stardust match?
Mm-hmm.
Not as Cody Rhodes or whatever, because, you know, he was in tag team for so long. I guess the only answer, I guess, would be him and Goldust, but I don't remember it going that long at Fastlane. So you get stuff like that, you know, and yeah, we've seen lengthy Dean Ambrose matches, so that wasn't as big of a deal, but I do like this thing where it's a different person every week. You know, they're not going to go over on Cena, but we do get a lengthy look at a guy you normally wouldn't.
I want to take a look at that guy.
Right.
Honestly, that's the thing. I was kind of going back and forth on how I felt about Raw this week.
Mm-hmm.
But like one of the things, like, you know, it's a good thing to take away from this a little bit last week because of Dana, but then like really this week.
Yeah.
It's just basically like how to look good losing.
Yeah.
Because it was the Stardust thing and the. And
the
Aaron Neville thing.
Adrian.
I can't.
Say Neville.
They took it away, and I'm
even
still
going
to do it.
Even though JBL has said Adrian Neville.
He has said Adrian
times,
Neville.
But God. You don't even. You got,
I just
say Neville.
Just
dude.
Neville.
I know it sounds nerdy and dorky, but just say Neville.
I can't.
I
don't know why. It's ruined.
Oddly enough, and I rewatched WrestleMania a couple days, or yesterday actually.
Okay.
The one thing I've noticed, they've already edited out all the mistakes.
Yeah.
They've already edited to make it look like Brock's pyro went off the right time, not like down, whatever. They just like did a close up of Brock, and you heard the sound of the fireworks, and then you cut far away, and oh, look, there's the fireworks.
Mm.
You know, stuff like that. There's a couple other stuff that they edited that, you know.
That's why you gotta watch wrestling live, because
right.
they rewrite history in a heartbeat.
They didn't edit out Michael Cole screwing up the whole, like, you know, this is still Undertaker's yard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, I don't know, he just said dard or something like that. I don't know.
I think we've had a good amount of matches with Neville and with Stardust.
Yeah.
And
see, that's something I like, you know, with the Neville thing, they could easily put him up against another jobber, like they did last week. They put him up against
Curtis Axel
and his Extreme Mania or Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules.
Excuse me. And they could have easily done the Ryback gimmick almost, even though he's not a monster build type guy. It's his second week. They could easily, you know, put him up against Zack Ryder or something.
Yeah.
But they put him up against the champ and give him a pretty lengthy match and make him look good against the champ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a thing I do like about having Seth Rollins as champion.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys that he very much, he's impressive himself, but he also elevates his opponent. Not that Neville needs much elevation.
Yeah. Was that not intentional?
That actually was not intentional.
No, it's a situation where really they I'm almost like it's WWE's knee jerk reaction that, you know, it's like, oh, but new guy, he's gotta look good, he's gotta win four straight weeks, five straight weeks, you know, before he actually has any competition.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before, I'm 100% done with monster builds.
Yeah.
It's just wasted time filler for, you know, weeks. I think Neville looks much stronger, is much fiercer, more legitimate competitor now than he would if he had beaten six jobbers in a row for the next month and a half. Right.
Instead, you make him look competitive against, you know, the guy at the top of the mountain.
Right. I mean, I don't know.
And same goes for Stardust, really. It wasn't the greatest of matches, but
it's not. But WWE should tout itself as the cream of the crop. They kind of have a problem with they tout themselves as the only wrestling in existence.
The only game in town. Yeah.
Which they're not, but they are the top tier. They are the cream of the crop. There's like 80 guys on the roster, but they're the best 80 wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
Theoretically, mileage may vary on this and that, but theoretically, that's how WWE should present it, is these are the best 80 wrestlers all competing for the final 2 to 3 slots, which are the titles for your, thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I understand you need jobbers, you need some guys to look strong, that kind of thing, but it's... I don't want to just blanket say get rid of jobbers. Jobbers is a bad thing to have.
Yeah.
But it's – jobbers feels like a thing left over from the territory days where you need to see one guy win a match real quick to establish that he's super intense, super powerful.
Right.
And it doesn't hold the same effect when you see – because there's that one guy who jobs out to everybody.
Yeah.
Beating him does not show the same effect. I think that I you have 3 hours to fill again, and I think that these 2-3 minute matches, even if they were 9-10 minute matches, which is not a lot of time in the grand scheme of things, but it lets both people look really good. The guy you want to put over can still look super dominant.
Yeah.
Or put him. And like I almost feel like I don't need to make this, statement anymore because they did. They put him against the champion.
Yeah.
Your second week on Raw, you're going up against the champion.
You can still say it because I promise you they're gonna do a monster build at some point of somebody.
Yes.
I don't think they've threw that mold away.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying like maybe today.
Yeah.
This week isn't the week to do it.
Yeah. Maybe this week, just be happy and content with.
But this week definitely clarifies that. Look at this. Look at Dean Ambrose got a great match last week. Stardust got a good match this week.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get a good, solid, 10 to 15 minute one-on-one match with John Cena next week.
Zack Ryder?
Maybe, even if it is Zack Ryder, that would be the best thing that Zack Ryder's had.
Since he had the U.S. Championship, yeah.
So, there's... It's a good thing to do. It's the best thing they've used Cena for. Obviously Cena's gonna have a rematch with Rusev at Extreme Rules.
Right.
But after that, I think that they should continue to not announce. Cena should defend every week on Raw, every pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gotta have your Cena match. But that's like part of next week's. Ooh, who's gonna come out now?
Right.
I don't know. I'm excited. I want to look for this.
So how do you see this ending? This whole run with Cena as the U.S. Championship. How long are they going to do it? Having a match against a different guy every week is interesting and is different, but at the same time, you're not exactly involving him in storyline that hasn't already been established. Because the thing with Rusev was established months ago.
Right.
So they don't really need to do any work on it now. So once he... moves on from Rusev, because I'm just assuming he's going to win Extreme Rules.
I would like him to win Extreme Rules and
continue.
And then go their separate ways. I don't know what's next. Battleground?
Maybe.
No Way Over the Limit. Slam in the Bank.
Final Battleground, yes.
Whatever. I don't need a third, or I guess it'll be a fourth, Cena and Rusev match. Because
no.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's like, I'm totally fine with the Rusev match, but it will be the third Cena.
Well, yeah,
Rusev
but it is kind of the rubber match because Rusev won the first one, Cena won the second one. Who's going to win the final one and let that be the end? I think that's a good, kind of way to go. Once you get in the fourth and fifth, that's when it gets over the line.
Yeah.
Or over the limit, whatever. That was intentional. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like I'm trying to think of somebody on the roster now who they would be willing to have either, you know, beat Cena clean or what heel is coming up that could get a dirty win over Cena and start a feud.
Well, part of the thing is, you know, what we're looking at right now is Cena's going to – the title's on the line in every Cena match.
Yeah.
So if whoever beats Cena next will be U.S. champion.
Yeah.
I do think that Cena will be WWE champion at least one more time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Cena's going to break the record, and you're fine. I'm fine with that. / made my peace with that. However you want to feel.
Right.
About
it's
that.
Just one of those things where you just accept that it's going to happen.
It's going to happen
regardless of how you feel.
For better or worse, it's going to happen. Yeah. And okay, but for Cena to do all this stuff to really elevate the, I mean, this is the highest profile the U.S. title has had
in a while, yeah. In a long since I can remember.
It's on Cena. It was, you know, we talked about it was the third to last match. There was a tank in the entrance.
Yeah,
it's held by the face of your company.
Mm-hmm.
The poster for Extreme Rules is John Cena, so mm-hmm. the U.S. champion is on the poster promoting mm-hmm. a pay per view.
Yep,
and it's like it's Cena with like Braveheart face paint of the American flag.
Right.
So they're clearly leaning into this,
mm-hmm.
you know, Cena U.S. champion thing. That like, so if they do all this, Cena loses through dirty tactics to somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they get the title, and Cena goes, well, gonna go back to the real title that matters.
Right.
That will, like, just undo everything.
Undercut it right there.
Almost in a single match.
Yeah, you're right.
Whoever Cena loses to, I still feel like there needs to be
some sort of story that goes along with it.
Yeah, some sort of feud there. And the thing is, like, need Cena to lose.
I feel like, you know, like, or if it's like a surprise win or something, that could ignite a feud or whatever. Then, you know, Cena goes on to something else for a little bit and then goes to the championship. If there's like a nice little buffer there.
Yeah.
Then that
well,
helps.
The thing is, you almost have to, for Cena to get away from the U.S. title mm-hmm. scene, you have to have Cena lose the feud.
Yeah, and the rematch, yeah.
And so, how do you have Cena lose the feud? And the way to do it, honestly, is...
The Rock?
U.S. champion The Rock? I don't think Rock will ever come back for U.S. champion, I'm sorry.
Yeah, fair enough.
The actual way to do it is have Cena get... K-Fab injured where he can't wrestle even if it's just like for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. By the time he comes back, it'll be like, oh, Cena's back pop, and he can come back to interfere with the new guy who's being a bully.
You're right.
You know, and doesn't have to worry about that title anymore. But can you get Cena off the TV for 3 weeks?
I think now more than ever, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Cena's not closing out shows every week, and he's not main eventing shows at all.
Yeah.
You know, or pay-per-views, I should say. So I think now more than ever, now that they're relying on other guys now, I feel like it is, and it is kind of like a, you know, by committee top level guys, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think for now is a good thing. You know, it's always convenient to have that one guy to point to and be like, that's the guy, that's, you know, our face of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're kind of moving away from that right now. Where, yeah, Cena is clearly the leader, but he's not the one they're leaning on like they used to.
Right.
So if there was at any point that they could go a few weeks without him, it would probably be now.
Yeah, but I mean...
Or in the near future.
Do you think Cena will want to even take 2 weeks off?
If they've got a good reason whenever he comes back, if they're, you know, telling him, this is what we have when you come back, it's going to be great. If you sell him on it, yeah. Now, he's a game player. He'll do whatever.
Okay. All right.
You know. Now, I want to ask you this question.
Okay.
Would you like to see the U.S. Championship become almost like a gimmick title, where whoever holds it has to defend it every week? Because we're all assuming that, you know, once the title changes hands to somebody else, they're not going to do the Cena thing and, you know, put it up every week.
Kind of like, I'm sure. I was actually talking to Heather about this
mm-hmm.
While we were watching Raw and talking about how it's we're kind of in kayfabe supposed to pretend that all these belts are, you know, different but equal.
Right.
You know, that it's we're supposed to, oh, the IC title, that's a big title. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, clearly it's not. I mean, it is, but it's not the WWE title.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no clear in UFC, in boxing, there are weight lines, you know. Right. So the heavyweight,
there's a ranking system.
Right. Yeah. The heavyweight title is still the biggest deal title, but the, you know, the people who compete for the bantamweight can't compete for the heavyweight championship.
Right.
Which is not the case in wrestling. There's one
big
Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar can compete for the same title.
Right. And, you know, same way, and, you know, allow my country redneck to show a little bit. NASCAR, they started a thing lately because they have all these, like, kind of a, they have their main series, they have a kind of a minor league series, and then, like, the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And used to, guys can do whatever they wanted, racing whatever they wanted, and whoever, you know, had the most points at the end won the championship for whatever. Then it got to the point where, you know, all these big-name guys kept going into lower ones just kind of to practice, but they kept doing it on a regular basis, and they were always winning races and always winning championships and whatnot. So what they did a couple years ago is, at the beginning of the season, you declared yourself which one you were actually going to be competing in for points.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. You can race in whatever you want. But there's only one where your points would actually matter.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of system is it's interesting, you know. But it's along those same lines where, you know, how can you come up with a rating – or not rating, a ranking type system – so it's clear to, you know.
There are five titles in the WWE. Yes. There's tag team, which is will count as one because, you know, there's tag team, divas, WWE champion, IC, and US.
Yeah.
The same people are eligible to compete for US to IC and WWE.
Which is incredibly sexist.
Well, the divas compete for the divas one, and I mean, tag team is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like the weights are different thing. You compete in it this way, this style. And so, if you did something different on the U.S. title and the IC title,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the idea they've had cruiserweight titles in the past.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of feel, that kind of thing. So, right. Yeah, maybe one is the U.S. title is defended every week.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of gets into hardcore title territory.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, you know.
But it's a much more structured way.
That's the thing. Is like I've been, you know, a big, you know, vocal person about I want the hardcore title back. I think especially with the network, you should bring back the hardcore title.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't because hardcore title is an attitude thing and the broken title thing and
right
maybe
and
you don't want
a lot of not PG situations.
Maybe you don't want to invoke that, but if the U.S. title was something that had to be defended on a weekly basis,
or if they like renamed it to like the 24/7 title or something along those lines, something catchy or whatever, you know, something that where it's like it can be defended anywhere, not necessarily hardcore, but there you go.
Yeah. So that's fine. I mean,
it would kind of separate it from the Intercontinental Championship, because if you look at it, they're theoretically on the same plane.
Right.
You know?
I mean, part of this was, you know, the thought process was, if Brock has the WWE title and he's off the show so much,
yeah,
the U.S. will be the main title on Raw, IC can be the main title on SmackDown. And Daniel Bryan's on SmackDown kind of doing that.
Yeah.
But now that Seth has the WWE title,
right,
that kind of puts a little hiccup in that plan.
And I think that, you know, John Cena's doing something different with the U.S. Championship helps that a little bit.
I think it does as well. And I think it does help that the IC title has pretty much only appeared on SmackDown since.
Yeah, because Daniel Bryan wasn't even on SmackDown this week.
Wasn't on Raw.
Raw.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's been 2 weeks, but yeah.
Now that's a pretty big deal. You know, the secondary babyface in the company wasn't on the main show.
Yeah, that's the thing. But he's being the big face of SmackDown.
Right.
You know, which The Rock did.
You did.
You know, that's the thing. It's like that back when there was
But so did Sheamus.
No, Sheamus was never the main face of SmackDown. That's stupid and I don't like it.
I know. I know it's stupid, but it absolutely is true.
When Sheamus was that on SmackDown, Randy Orton was still a face, and Randy Orton was on SmackDown. That was when Randy Orton was drafted to SmackDown.
Yeah, but Randy Orton wasn't champion.
I don't care. Randy Orton was always... Because John Cena wasn't...
Okay, fine. If you still want to argue that, Randy Orton wasn't that great of a face either.
No, he wasn't, but I will sleep soundly at night with Randy Orton being the face of SmackDown for a while.
Because Randy Orton doesn't have a mohawk right now?
That's a dumb mohawk.
It's a really... No. What's worse than that is that beard.
I don't know.
Makes him look like an octopus face.
I mean, Sheamus hasn't done anything for me since he came back, and it was just like... I don't know, man.
Does he not know how to yell anything but fella? If you're trying to be like a mean, imposing figure, and you have a cool-ish dark entrance with new music or whatever, and then you get the big spotlight, and you're like... Fella, come on.
I mean, I don't know what I want out of Sheamus right now. Mm-hmm. Sheamus is like, to me, if I were creative, Sheamus is the first time I can truly look at the roster, look at everybody, think about it, and go, Sheamus, creative has nothing for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like they say that so much, and, you know, that's been a talk about, like, people have gotten that, creative just has nothing for you, and I feel like that's such a...
It's a very cheap way to go.
It's a cheap way,
it's a lazy...
It's very close to a cop-out, yeah, It's like, but I look at it, I'm like, I don't... If you handed me the reins to the show, and said, all right, let's go, you have 5 hours of television to fill a week, you know, here, you have 80 guys on the roster.
Step one, hire John Morrison.
P.S. I totally hope that they actually have about 80 guys, because I've said that like...
You've said that a few times, I've noticed.
But, you mean, that you have this many people on the roster, and I'm like, I don't have anything for that Sheamus dude. I don't. There's nobody who I'm like, I need him to... He can be in this feud, he can do this. I don't have anything for him.
He can still do Weekend at Sheamus's. That's all I'm saying.
I don't. So, okay, and, like, I'm not as super down as I was back on the...
Right.
I hate Sheamus.
But it's still at this weird point where it's like, okay, he's back, now what? He's a bad guy, he's got this big guy complex where he's, you know, going after these smaller guys. Okay, I guess it gives something Dolph Ziggler to do, because apparently he's going after Dolph Ziggler now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If
this results in, so like, an Extreme Rules tag team match between Sheamus, Wade, and Wade Barrett versus Daniel Bryan and Ziggler, I'm going to punch someone. Because I have a feeling, because, you know, they've been associating with each other a little bit. Not much, but a little bit.
I mean, more on SmackDown.
More on SmackDown, yes. But it's got me worried.
Yeah, I don't know.
That, you know, our Intercontinental Champ, Daniel Bryan, is going to have a... tag team.
He should be defending the title.
He should be, yeah. And it should be Wade Barrett, because he's, you know, he's the rematch clause.
Yeah. You want to mention, talk about the interview?
Yeah, sure. You know, it wasn't as hard-hitting as Stone Cold's was, but I wasn't expecting that.
No.
Because that's not the Chris Jericho interview.
Somebody commented, I think, on Twitter, and it just... If I'd known I was going to bring it up, I would actually look so I could credit somebody. But
yeah.
Somebody said, Stone Cold found his true second calling with podcasting.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Podcasting is just one of the things that Chris Jericho's pretty good at.
He's okay.
And so, like...
There's a few things he does that, you know, is makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, but whatever.
But
he's not bad. He's good at having a conversation. Bad at...
Right. All the problems with the Chris Jericho podcast, I knew were going to go away for the live on the network thing.
Right.
I just knew they were, and so I wasn't worried about that.
Because there's this element of when he's on camera, he goes into a different mode.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people have tried to – Chris Jericho has tried to, you know, kind of quell the heat a little bit, where he's trying to say, like, this isn't a podcast. This is a different thing. It's almost like a late-night talk show kind of on the network minus, you know – kooky gimmicks and, you know, a band.
Right. Well, here's the thing is, like, it's he was interviewing John Cena. He wasn't interviewing Vince or Triple H. So, like, I don't know what – I was like, what should – what would Stone Cold have asked?
Right.
What would have the China going in the Hall of Fame question been? Because it was Cena, are you turning heel? Like, that was the question to ask Cena. And
right. And see, that's the thing. I don't know exactly what the hard-hitting question would have been had Stone Cold done this. Because, again, like, he's a top guy, sure, but he's in no position of authority to really do anything about... You know, he can voice his opinion or whatever, and, you know...
Yeah.
If anybody on the roster had Vince's ear, it would be Cena. But I just think, you know, it is what it is, and I think that's what the interview was going to be, you know, with Jericho. If anything, Stone Cold would have asked him again to snug up the STF. Because he did it like that one time when he asked, like that next Raw.
Yeah.
But then went back to his old dumb ways for that move.
With the heel thing. So I feel like I've said like I will always stand by Cena will turn heel. If Hogan turned heel eventually, Cena will turn heel eventually.
But then again, WWE wasn't the ones that turned Hogan heel.
You don't care. I don't care because Cena's gonna be there forever.
Right.
And Cena's gonna be on the show forever.
Like, right. And it's like what he said, when they have that new whoever it is, that new top face that all the kids look up to, that's a good moment to turn because they're not, you know, they're not anchored on Cena anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then that same point where just like, there's this new guy, it's happening, you know, John Cena's gonna turn heel any moment, and he doesn't.
I mean, part of the thing is, like, Bray Wyatt grants Make-A-Wishes.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, not as many as Cena, but
they
like...
They don't publicize it, yeah.
I mean, like, it's the thing is, like, it's... I don't know, I've done theater performances, and I've done theater performances specifically for kids, and I've played a good guy, and I've played a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I've come out afterwards, and kids have gone, "Whee! You're the guy that I saw."
Right.
Like, it's I mean, and I totally understand. I totally understand... You do this for the kids, and I think it's very commendable that you can be like, the whole crowd's booing, and that one kid's cheering, right. And I'm going to be this John Cena character because that one kid's cheering.
Right, and I understand that, you know, and I've come to peace with, you know, he's just going to be, this is what he does because of this reason, because of that reason. It makes sense, it makes business sense,
and it's a good thing to do. Heather, you know, Heather's a teacher, and Heather teaches in a Title I school, and Heather doesn't like John Cena at all.
Right.
But Heather's like, there are people in that, you know, there are kids that she teaches that love the ever-loving crap out of John Cena.
Right.
And, like, you know, and, like, these are also students who might not necessarily have a lot of positive male role models
right.
in their life. And so, like, for better or for worse, John Cena is that. And so my biggest problem with John Cena always has been, I'm a face, I'm a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hustle, loyalty, respect, prayers and vitamins, da, 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 da. Oh, by the way, isn't Vicky Guerrero very stupid and ugly and fat?
Fair enough.
And, like, that is, like, the
that's guys. The one part where you're like, all right.
You guys.
I mean, if you're going to sit here and tell us that he's not turning heel because of, you know, social responsibility, come on. No, I completely agree there. Like, you know, just let's just, you know, color by numbers here, guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's... That's what's frustrating. I'm you know what, I'm 100%, especially now that he's not headlining. Yep.
Wow.
Headlining.
This got dark.
Especially now that he's not headlining right. every pay per view over CM Punk. He's a US champion, he's, you know, but still prominently displayed.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the card. At this point, like, no, I am totally fine with this social responsibility, integrity.
As long as they stick to it.
Except for the
joke Cena.
Yeah, and it's...
Which I am glad that Jericho did say something about that, because I felt like that was just something that no one really talked about, no one brought up. But Jericho did say, he's like, yeah, I don't really like Joe Cena. And Cena's like, yeah, yeah, I get that.
Here's the thing. For me, it's not – if he wants to – occasionally, I dig on Joe Cena.
Yeah.
You know, he's –
If because there's a time and place for it.
Exactly.
If he's in the middle of a heated, you know, rivalry or whatever, and you're just supposed to be selling intensity at that moment, yeah, no, don't even try. Because honestly, I don't think he really did that with Rusev. I don't think, unless I'm just blocking it out of my mind. But there has been times in the past where it's just like, okay, now you're just, you know, you're just cutting the legs off from, you know, the guy that you're supposed to be selling this intense, you know, moment with. Yeah.
So I think that's true, and I think, again, the insult humor, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's, I think the Vicky Guerrero thing bothered me a whole lot more, because Vicky Guerrero is not an in-ring competitor.
No.
Is not, she's a heel, but she's not the one to go toe-to-toe to,
you know,
with John Cena.
She's also a widow.
Well, I mean, it's not even that. It's if he wanted to...
It's just, you know, having respect for a fellow person.
Yeah, it's the thing is, like, I'm okay with John Cena making jokes about The Rock.
Right.
Because, first of all, The Rock is a chiseled American icon. The Rock can take a few,
yes,
let's make fun of him jokes.
Right.
And in storyline, The Rock and Cena can go. And The Rock, if, you know,
and Cena makes fun of The Rock, already has that part in his promo arsenal, the whole jokey side of him. So they both have that, so they can both kind of match up with him.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
non-wrestlers...
Cena has a bad habit of bringing that out to kick someone when they're down.
Yeah.
And it comes out then. It comes out once he's beaten somebody in the ring.
Yeah.
And then he comes out the next night and makes fun of them for being losers.
Essentially, yes.
That's what it is. So that's, if you work on that, I will be totally fine with Cena being a face for life.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And, you know, there are some things that I do, in theory, agree on, like, you know, you talk about, you know, fans are always wanting, we want new, we want new, we want new, and then they're like, all right, well, here's new, and they're like, it's too corporate, we don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously he's referring to Roman Reigns, because we've been saying, like, for the longest time, we want something new at the top, you know? And we like it when that new at the top means Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, or whatever, but if it's Roman Reigns, get the F out, you know? Like...
You know what? I'm gonna stand by me as a fan for
sure. I'm gonna say you have to like everybody that they kind of jam down your throat, because then we like guys who are at the top who got there organically, and I fully agree with you. Guys who legitimately are there because the fans put him there for better or worse, you know. But guys that are like, he's at the top because we say he's at the top and I like him.
Here's the thing: me as a fan saying I want something new just means I don't like what's happening now. It doesn't mean I'm going to like anything new.
Right.
It just means what's going on right now, I don't like. And I'm being more helpful as a fan because the reason I don't like it is that it's old.
Right. And honestly, you know, in a way that kind of would kind of justify, you know, people not really taking a liking to Roman Reigns is because, yeah, it's somebody new, but it's the same formula that they've had forever.
Yeah.
We're trying to push a guy and trying to make him the next Cena. Problem is, you're not going to find the next Cena. You know, you got to find a guy who's doing his own thing in his own way, and the fans like him, because that's how Cena got there.
Yeah.
He did it, he did something his own way, and he got there.
That's the thing, it's like Cena is very easy to liken to Hogan. Cena's this generation's Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
But Cena got popular not with a Hulk Hogan. He's a Hulk Hogan character now, but Thuganomics was what he got popular with, and that is not a Hulk Hogan
character. And it was something different.
It was.
Something that wasn't going on, and he went in detail about how different it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you're right.
And there's... It's hard to... That's part of the it factor, the X factor, the what is different, because, like Roman is different... He walks down through the crowd.
Yeah, and you see how much troll that was at WrestleMania.
Like, that's not different. That's, you know, it
technically, ECW did that.
On a technicality, that is different.
Right.
Like, that's not new and exciting. He still punches people.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, he's doing it because the Shield did it. He's got that music because it's the Shield's music.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were very high on the Shield, so let's just keep him.
Hey, you guys.
Closely associated with the Shield. Like, he still has that ring gear.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be okay if they just changed most of it. Like, you know, they want to keep him with that same sort of look as far as ring gear. That's fine, but at least give the guy, like, some music and entrance or whatever.
Yeah.
Give him an identity beyond Shield.
Well, here's the thing.
Because that's the thing with, like, with Seth and Dean. They've developed their own identity outside of Shield. Roman, he's still, like, trying to use that Shield shadow.
Yeah.
You know? He hasn't developed an identity beyond that, really.
Yeah. So do you think Roman's going to be facing the Big Show at Extreme Rules?
I guess. We've seen him face the Big Show so many freaking times.
How is it that Roman, this will be Roman's fourth singles pay-per-view? Because I remember that was the big thing.
Yeah.
WrestleMania was his third singles pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
So this will be his fourth singles pay-per-view ever. How is it? It is only his fourth singles pay-per-view ever, yet I feel like I've seen him go one-on-one with the Big Show at least 12 times.
Because he has, because every other Raw and SmackDown, he's going up against the Big Show. Or some sort of combination of tag team with Big Show involved.
Yeah.
That's why it feels like you've seen it a billion times, because you've seen it a billion times. You're not going to do Roman any favors, because he's already proven he can beat Big Show. And Big Show isn't exactly a guy that is going to make Roman look good with fans.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's the thing with Roman at this point. Because here's the thing. Step away from all the Rumble to Mania debacle fiasco. I think Roman is genuinely talented. I think Roman will be WWE champion.
He's got
at some
all the
point.
Tools.
He does. And I think he should be. I think he is well suited to be WWE champion.
I agree.
Multiple reigns over the next several years for Roman. Yes.
Is that on
that
purpose?
That's on purpose.
Okay.
But that's the thing. So, you know what? I'm not on board the Roman Reigns hype train.
Right.
But I'm not actively trying to derail it.
Right.
Anymore.
You're just, you know, you're on your own train that's kind of running parallel, not intersecting, not crashing into or
anything
like that.
No, I'm waiting at the station and just checking out the train, seeing which one I want to take a ride on.
And you see Roman pass by, he's like, I'll wait.
Come around again. Let's go around the Monopoly board one more time.
Get a higher speed or something.
But here's the thing. You honestly do have the kids. Like, you know what? There's a certain demographic that this is the new guy, I like him now. Works on kids, works on preteens, the things that look at that and it's like, oh, he's so awesome and he's super hardcore and da, da, da. And it works, and that's not really knocking that there. It works for that. And so you do have people who are on this Roman hype train, and there are a lot of the people who buy t-shirts and stuff, so that's really good and bully for you.
And that's a major demographic that WWE will listen to.
Yeah. The thing that you were struggling with this whole time is this older male demographic, and the problem is they're so loud.
They're very loud.
They're so loud and they're so whiny.
They are.
And that's not necessarily
you're treading on thin ice, because that's our audience, Joel, so be careful with your insults.
I don't mean that as an insult. That's kind of how you make yourself known. You be loud and whiny. That's
fair enough.
I was loud and whiny about Daniel Bryan last year. I was, and
you won.
The thing is, like, I would have been loud and whiny the whole time.
Right.
Here's the thing is you got Roman to where as far as you go, and then Roman really carried his own at WrestleMania. I mean, Brock helped, obviously, but but Roman looked like $1 million in that match.
Absolutely.
You didn't give him the impossible burden of walking out of WrestleMania, both with the title and as a face.
Yeah.
Because that wouldn't have happened.
No.
And so that Roman beating Brock thing that was going to taint that whole performance that Roman gave did not end up tainting that performance. So Roman comes off of WrestleMania looking pretty good.
Right. And not going to squander all that on
the
show.
Well, here's the thing. It's like,
hooray, congratulations, you avoided that one dumpster fire. Now let's go get the matches on this other one.
The people that would go, oh, Roman and Big Show, I don't know if Roman's going to make this. And then, oh, that's gonna... those are the people you already got who are in Roman's corner.
Right.
And here's the thing. Like, Roman's looked his best to me. I've enjoyed Roman the most what on earth was it? Was to replace Elimination Chamber.
Fastlane.
Fastlane. I was like, it was one of the car themes.
Fastlane over the limit, too.
Yeah. Fastlane. Electric Boogaloo. He did Fastlane, and he looked good against Daniel Bryan and against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And so, like, there are people, you put Roman in these matches, I'm like, I don't know, let me see what Roman can do here.
Right.
And I'm not excited to see a Big Show match.
No.
I'm not excited to see a Roman match yet, but I'm not dreading a Roman match anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making progress there. So if you put not dreading with am excited, we could really get something there.
Right.
But you're putting not dreading with dreading.
No, yeah.
And so it's the loud, whiny people who you haven't won over with Roman yet
mm-hmm.
are going to have the same loud, whiny reaction about Big Show.
Yeah.
And so that's just I don't think Big Show's the way to go.
No, I don't.
But clearly, what do I know?
And I mean, yeah,
it's worked 12 times before.
And this is also, you know, the same guy he just had a one-on-one match on Raw and beat cleanly for the billionth time. So I feel like if they do go that route, it would be a mistake.
I mean, it'll be in a cage, or it'll be...
Sure.
With no DQ, or with...
Another stairs match. There we go.
Shh. Don't say things like that.
Don't speak it into his
That's
existence.
That's stupid. Stairs matches are stupid.
Yeah, but the one...
Stupid.
The one at TLCS wasn't terrible.
It was stupid. Wait,
it was better than we were expecting.
Yeah, but it was stupid. It was better than I was expecting.
They set up stairs Tetris.
It was better than I was expecting. It was still as stupid as I was expecting.
Understood. I can agree with that.
They
made a wall of stairs, though.
And it was stupid. Better than I was expecting, but still stupid.
Fair enough.
Okay, the one thing... The other thing I want to mention is... So, there's going to be a Divas Battle Royal.
Next Monday night, yeah.
Next Monday night. Just FYI... To anyone out there listening.
Okay.
Just saying the phrase hashtag give Divas a chance on the air does not count as giving Divas a chance.
No, you're right.
You have not checked that box off
no, you're right.
of your to-do list yet.
Because A, that Divas Battle Royal is gonna last about 5 minutes. 10 tops. B, they're gonna make it one of these BS like if you just fall out of the ring, you're out.
Yeah.
If you want to make this, you know, serious and quote-unquote legit, make it over the top rope. Stop. Let them do what they want to do. Like, let them use the talent and use the skill that they've been developing and do it.
The thing that really concerns me was it was four people. It was Natty, Summer Rae, Cameron, and Alicia Fox.
Yes.
I think. And... they all came in with this, you know, flirty flirt with Kane to get what they want kind of thing.
Right.
And
Kane basically, like, giving them what they want just so they would shut up and leave.
Well, and the thing is, like, that's not really interesting character development in the Divas division. And I don't want to be like, you can't do that with girls, because that is a character. If you want to do
that is a specific type of character.
If you want to do a female character that flirts her way around to get what she wants and uses that to her advantage and that kind of thing, and that's fine, but that's not your default girl character.
For every diva, yeah.
And that's
you know, like that's what
that's the problem is like there are girls and girls act like this and so do that.
Right.
And the thing is like they don't
and they all hate each other.
Yeah. Well, they don't necessarily like Paige is not like that.
No.
Brie is not like that. Like Brie mode's a thing. Like you know what?
Yeah.
For
better or worse, even though it's referred to her getting blackout drunk,
like it or hate it, Brie mode is a thing and it's you know, AJ's never like that. Nikki's not like that. But the thing is like the ones that have gotten a little bit of storyline and a little bit of time to develop character, and I like that. But you go back one level, and that's your default girl mode, and it's just that's.
I think what it was WWE listened to our podcast, and they took us a little too literally when we were like, if you're going to give Divas a chance, give the entire Divas a chance. You can't pick and choose, whatever. It's like, oh, they're calling for a battle royal. Here you go, guys. So now we're clarifying.
Okay.
That's what we meant.
Just take these notes and adjust.
Give us a 15-minute over-the-top rope battle royal that actually is, you know, serious competition and not just catty and just weak and awful.
Well, part of the thing is I don't want the Give Divas a Chance movement to just be, okay, call up Charlotte.
Right.
Because, you know, that's great, and I'm really looking forward to Charlotte on the main roster, But it does mean it means...
I want a Kofi-like spot in the Battle Royale. And probably Naomi, because she's clearly the most athletic.
Well, here's the thing. Cena is hustle low to respect. Dean Ambrose is crazy... You know, fringe lunatic. Seth Rollins is slimy, oily, gets his championship by cheating. Randy Orton is
a snake.
Well, he's, yeah, fine. Randy Orton's a snake. Batista's a crazy animal. And, you know, the thing is, like, all your dude characters, when you start going down, they start to get to generic bodybuilder form number 8.
Sure, yeah.
Well, they do.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, but you got all these guys have... developed characters.
Identities?
And, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in that segment, your females did not.
Yeah.
And I'm still saying, I'm like, you know what? It's the first week of many. Mm-hmm. You have plenty of time. Also,
giving Divas a chance doesn't mean, oh yeah, we're giving a longer match. But they've been tag team matches for like the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, we're giving them a chance. Tag team matches in a still somewhat short segment, not exactly what I count as giving them a chance.
Well, no, I mean, what I want, obviously, is not going to happen around, because I want basically a complete overhaul of the Divas division. I want consistent structured storylines. Mm-hmm. I want feuds based on two people wanting the title, not two people not liking each other's boyfriends.
Or calling the other ugly or whatever. Yeah.
I want matches. And
you don't want something that's so superficial.
Yeah.
Essentially. You want something that actually means something.
I want long feuds between two well-developed characters. Mm-hmm. I want
something that the fans could actually sink their teeth into.
Face turns and heel turns that make logical storyline sense.
Not the Alicia Fox method of going back and forth on, which is quickly becoming the Big Show method as well.
Yeah, I was like, well, Big Show.
They kind of went to the same.
And as I'm saying this, I'm also realizing they didn't even do this for the guys division. What am I asking for?
Right, not
great. But that's, I mean, if you could get your Divas division up to the guys division, it would be leaps and bounds to what it is now.
Right. We'll take steps.
Steps leaning towards it.
So here's the thing, and this is how I know that they're not doing that right now, because the number one contender is going to be whoever wins the Battle Royal, and it's like, okay, you're going to be facing off against Nikki, and it's just like, okay, well, they're kind of going to have a feud, but not really, because she just won the Battle Royal. She just kind of got thrust into it. There's no anything behind it.
Right, but they still had like a week or two weeks to actually build. I mean, then and it's
extreme. But that's giving them a lot of credit.
It's also Extreme Rules. It doesn't have to have a huge feud.
If they had a tables match,
so
that would be pretty good.
It would be.
Because the Divas have, I think it was a tag team match back when Lake Cole was a thing. They had a table match or something. It was all right.
Well, the thing is, like Divas have not had ladder matches or table matches or last man standing matches.
Last woman standing. Don't be insensitive.
I guess they've had, like, I mean, they haven't had gimmick matches on the level.
All they've had gimmick matches, they've just been awful.
They've been things on a pole and lumberjill matches.
The Vicky Guerrero Invitational. 14 girls, one pinfall. Seriously?
I know. Shh. It's over now. It can't hurt you anymore.
I'm not so sure. They can bring that back at any moment.
I guess the last thing I want to mention is New Day.
I loved everything New Day this past week. Dear Lord, it's been fantastic. A, primetime players were fantastic.
Primetime players had a nut. I mean, I know they were on SmackDown like the week before, kind of doing the same thing, but like, I remember like, I was kind of like.
It was like, all right, they're back together.
I walked to the kitchen and I walked back and I was like, what are primetime players doing on the screen?
They got a new shirt, apparently. Like, New Day's been a thing for like, it seems like forever, and they don't have a t-shirt.
Yeah.
These guys come back together and bam, new shirts
for them.
They're heels. Like, they just kind of like slid that, you know, under, like Kofi Kingston, like, cheated for his team so they can win. Kofi Kingston's a heel right now, you guys. Like, I don't think you guys understand how massive that is. He's like your perennial like face. Like, he had it made forever. He was going to be like that mid-tier face dude that showed up and all the kids were like, oh, it's that guy. Yay, that guy.
I mean, I'm gonna say I don't think they're heels yet. I think they're on their way to the turn. But I think they're still goofy.
They're still goofy until like they get mad and then.
And I think if that's the way they're going, I'm actually.
I love this.
I can totally do this. Where like they're.
I love what they did.
Where they like get seriously and like.
Did you see that? Like, I might rewatch Raw just for this segment. I
mean, don't rewatch all of Raw.
No.
Don't be crazy.
I've got a life. Not much of one, but still.
More than that.
Sliver is a sliver. But the look on Xavier Woods' face when Kofi hits that kick, just like, what? Yes! And he like got into that a little bit too much and it eventually caused them to lose, but I don't care. That was amazing.
That's the thing, is like, I there's gonna be a New Day segment on sometime in the future. And I'm looking forward to that New Day segment.
Me too.
I haven't said that ever.
Right? Like, I did like that they tried to do the clap thing on the apron. They were doing the new, and then the people were, you know, doing the chant new day sucks thing. And, like, they kept getting louder, and so, like, they kind of got slower with it and then just stopped. And then just got mad. And I'm like, yes! Character development.
I can go with, like, this. These three guys insisting their jovial, goofy faces.
It's like, guys, we're happy. We're happy, damn it.
I can follow that. I can get behind that. All right.
It's one of those things where it's like, we're just forcing positivity down your throats.
Yep.
You jerks.
Yep.
And I like that. That is that is better than just being like, oh, we're happy, you guys. We're just happy.
Yep. No, I like it. And it's a progression from the New Day that started, and so I can see it.
And I completely forgot about that too. Just reminded me, and now I'm excited. Yay!
You want to do what's making you happy?
Let's do what's making me happy.
All right.
Wrestling related, and now it's the New Day thing and the John Cena US Open. I'm really digging that. I'm interested in. We're taping this on Tuesday, and I'm interested on what they're gonna do with NXT tomorrow night. They're gonna do this big thing of leading up to Hideo Itami at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see that. I'm guessing they're just gonna feature him next or tomorrow night. Non-wrestling related, I got a couple things. Of course, I'm going on a trip this weekend. It's one I've been looking forward to for a while. I went down to Fayetteville this past weekend, and my mom is getting stuff together, looking into eventually putting the house on the market. So we're cleaning, we're going through stuff, and I found a giant notebook full of CDs that are all mine, and is the perfect example of what Chris Sanders was in high school. And I, one by one, like all of my mixes, I put in my CD player in the drive back to Greensboro. And all this week, I've been like, just going through them and laughing my butt off the entire time. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, that's fine. I didn't really like this. I'm going to skip. And then hearing that, you're like, what is this? Why do I have this song on there? What?
I did
this. And like, and see, like, I put numbers on them, like, on my mixes. And so it's like, I can see my, like, taste in music shifting from this form of rap to this form of rap, you know? Because in high school, that's all I listened to, so that was my only phase. like, beginning, I was listening to stuff like, you know, Tyler Quali, Black Star, like that sort of thing. And then, like, I get to, like, towards, like, my junior and senior year when it's, like, chopped and screwed stuff with, like, Paul Wall and Slim Thug. Like, people that I don't even know are alive right now. People that I had completely forgotten about.
No. I did the same thing maybe about a year ago. I found the my stack of mix CDs right. that I managed. And here's the thing. I never labeled them. And yeah. It became this thing where I was like, I would make one. I'd be like, this will be the one I won't label. I'll know what's on it right. because it'll be the one that didn't get labeled.
Right. And the next thing, we got all these different labels.
And it spiraled from there. So I had a stack of like 30 CDs, all right. unlabeled, and I just put them in and just listened to them. And like... I knew that the songs kind of came back and like that kind of thing, but just like the order and the structure that high school Joel seemed to feel like was appropriate for a CD, where it'd be like, you know, it's like, all right, here's three tracks from Oklahoma,
right?
Then Baby Got Back, then one Dixie Chicks track,
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, no, I still think this is pretty good. Good job, Joel.
My mixes were me and my best friend at the time, Sean. We were in this thing where we were. It was like our version of Now That's What I Call Music.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made it our own series to where we would like, we would trade with each other. It was like, here's the mix I made, see what you think. And he would do the same with me. And he would always do like really weird stuff that I didn't like. And he was like, that's just really just what's on the radio, isn't it? And I'm like, shut up. It's great. But then there was like always that one track on my mix that made no sense at all. Here's how you can tell your music taste is way out of whack. When you have a Cisco song that isn't the thong song on your mix, it is a slow song. I listened to that, and I laughed my butt off so hard driving to Greensboro.
I will say, it was clearly a policy of Joel's in high school that a mix CD was not a true mix CD without Chumbawamba on it.
I love it.
Because it appeared on more than one CD.
Oh, dear Lord. I had Holiday Inn on one of the tracks. Good on job. One of the mixes.
Good job.
I was like, what is this bullcrap?
All right. What's making me happy?
Yes. Oh, yeah, you.
Yeah, me. Thanks. Bradley Jefferson Maddox.
Like a 2 second, just, oh, hi, I'm here. And he's like... Who are you? What are you doing here? He's like, yeah, nothing. I'll sing myself out.
I don't care.
And like everyone was like, because I heard that on Reddit earlier in the day. It was like, oh, Brad Maddox has been asked to come to TV. We don't know if it's going to lead to anything, but he's there. And I'm like, sitting back and I watched that segment. I was like, surely they didn't have him go to all the way to Austin, Texas from North Carolina just for that 2 second. Like, oh, I'm here. Hi. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was like, come on, dude. Just give the guy something.
That's the thing. It's like in desperation, unrequited love for this dude. I'm like, it's got to be something. Here we go.
Right. Thinking that this might lead to something like next week.
These are the breadcrumbs. And there's – I do feel like there's some sort of like constant disrespect of Kane. I think Kane's going to be the next one out of the Authority.
And it's probably going to be sooner than later.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe Brad's going to, like,
he plays a really good lackey.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I'm like, he could go in the Authority, or he could join Kane's scene. Like, I don't care anything right. for At the same time, remember, like, Michael Tarver was, like, hanging out backstage?
Michael Tarver, yeah. He was on Colt's podcast, like, recently. I haven't listened to it yet, but...
Well,
I was like, wow, that dude is still around.
Let me know if he ever answers why he was hanging. It was like 2 weeks in a row, and it was just like backstage check-ins between two people, and he was like sitting in the back of the set.
Just kind
of
like with his crazy eyes.
He did that, and then he'd like go back to playing on his phone.
Yeah.
And it was like he didn't know he was in the shot.
Which like I hope is the case.
That was his character, the guy that didn't know he was in the shot.
Oh, dear Lord. So, why are we not writers for WWE?
Maybe it's just that. I hope it's not. But I'm like, this is it. They're doing something right. with Braddock's now. And there was that time when Michael just stood in the background.
So maybe there's nothing, but I'm hoping it's something. That has made me happy.
It's a good reason, just because they haven't, obviously they haven't forgotten that he's on their payroll.
Exactly.
And he isn't actively avoiding them like I'm sure JTG was.
Yes.
So there you have it.
All right. Anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, we are doing our way too early picks. We were going to do it this week, but stuff happened, so we're going to do it next week.
Yes.
So
the picks have been made.
They have been made. We just haven't been able to do it yet.
Exactly.
So, if you want to send your way too early picks for WrestleMania 31 or 32, excuse me.
Yes.
Send those over.
They would be way too late picks for WrestleMania 31. Right.
Send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
We are also on iTunes. You can subscribe there. Just look us up on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. If you want to write a review, that would be awesome. If you want to give us a rating of 5 stars, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing it different this week.
I don't... You took my thing!
What kind of rating would you like them to give us, Chris?
If you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And if you want to just write in what your rating would be, I would love a 5-star rating from Inside Pulse, people. You jerk.
I've thrown myself off again. We are also on Facebook. Look us up on Facebook. Click like there. That kind of stuff really, just easy way to keep up with the podcast, keep up with us doing stuff.
Yep.
You want to plug YouTube?
Oh, yeah, sure.
A new plug.
We got a new plug. Dear Lord, I'm not expecting it. So I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. Put out a new video this past week. It was our quick recap, or fast count, or whatever we called it. Quick recount of WrestleMania 31. You go through the entire show, our kind of thoughts on it a little bit, but mostly just telling you what happened
in 3 minutes,
who was involved in less than 3 minutes, sped it up, sound like a chipmunk, so it's funny. Go check it out on our YouTube, just search Classroom Ring Attire and just look at the videos there. We're going to make it a regular thing. I'm pretty much going to do it for every pay-per-view, so sometime the week after a pay-per-view comes out, there'll be a new one.
Yeah. As always, stay classy and huzzah.
5 stars!